This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Been a busy past few weeks in sports across the state. College football's wrapping up, college basketball's well underway, and UNC's women's soccer team won another national championship. And North Carolina's pro teams are, let's say they're not likely to be any championships in the near future. Here to tell us and help us understand the bigger issues behind sports headlines is WUNC's Dave DeWitt. Dave, welcome. Good to see you.
Hi, Frank.
All right, so the big story, obviously, NC State fires head coach, football head coach, Tom O'Brien. Why?
Well, Tom O'Brien had a winning record, 40-35. He'd been to three bowl games in his 6 years at NC State. When they hired him 6 years ago from Boston College, he was seen as a great hire, somebody with all kinds of head coaching experience at a fairly high level. And he did fairly well here at NC State. But the reasoning that was given by athletic director Debbie Yao was that she thought, and a lot of fans believe, that NC State has the facilities and the wherewithal to be a top 25 program every year, a perennial top 25 program, and that Tom O'Brien's way about going about that was not going to get them there. A lot was made of his sort of recruiting style, and then recruiting at that level is a very competitive business. You go after the same players with the same very top programs across the country and across the state here. And Tom O'Brien sort of prescribed this strategy that's been in was in vogue, maybe last decade and before, where his staff did a lot of the daily recruiting stuff, and he'd come in at the end and sort of so-called close the deal. That didn't jive very well with athletic director Debbie Yao. She wanted somebody who was a little more hands-on and somebody who was a little more sort of enthusiastic. And Tom O'Brien was a former Marine, very well thought of within the coaching ranks and among the media, but he wasn't exciting enough, and I think that's why he ended up getting fired.
Let's go back to this idea of the head coach as closer. You said this is something popular, say, a couple of decades ago. Does that mean things have changed? Head coaches now are there throughout the process visiting recruits?
That's certainly one style that some head coaches, go about doing. They spend a lot of time, and recruiting starts with kids who are freshmen, sometimes younger than that. Football is a little bit different, more high school, because the kids have to get more physically able to do things before you can really tell what they can do. But in sports like men's basketball, you see 6th, 7th, 8th graders being heavily recruited. But in football, there's a big staff. A staff at NC State may have 11 assistant coaches, recruiting coordinators, and everybody else. And the head coach has to be able to manage all of that. And different guys have different styles. Yeah. Some of them get really involved in the minute details of it and make, weekly contact with each recruit. Some have a little more of a hands-off. But you've seen a trend towards sort of younger, more enthusiastic coaches who've embraced things like social media and everything else to reach these kids at a younger age.
All right, well, let's talk about the guy they hired to replace him, Dave Doran from Northern Illinois. Tell us about him.
Well, he's exactly one of these guys. He's, he's a young up-and-comer, 40 years old. He comes from Northern Illinois, where he was 23-4 in two seasons there. There, matter of fact, Northern Illinois is going to a bowl championship series game, BCS game, for the first time in its history. And there's a lot of controversy over whether a Mid-American Conference team deserves to be at that high level. But he certainly got it done in his 2 years. He's super enthusiastic. He's organized. And coaches are sort of categorized. They're either young up-and-comers like he is, and then they become, haggard older coaches that that hang on for a few years, maybe do well, they move up. And in coaching, you're either moving up or you're fired. So you're a younger guy getting a job, getting a first opportunity in a major conference like this. What's interesting, Dave Doran was hired at NC State, and since then a couple of other more high profile jobs have opened up at schools like Arkansas, and people have thrown around his name again. It's like, well, would he leave NC State and he go to even a bigger job? That's all rumor and not going to happen. But that's how well thought of he was. He's a guy who he comes off as young, enthusiastic, and energetic, and there's no reason to think he won't be.
So the person who made this change is Debbie Yao. She's the athletic director at NC State. She's been on the job since 2010. She's made a lot of changes, and it's interesting to me, Dave, to see how she's covered and how all of this is characterized when we talk about this particular change.
Well, obviously, she's a female. Debbie Yao is one of the very few female athletic directors at sort of the major university athletic departments. Matter of fact, just 3% of ADs at major football schools are female ADs. And so, she makes these decisions that, quite frankly, a lot of ADs would make. There's a lot of aggressive athletic directors out there nowadays. But a lot of people are characterize her as, oh, wow, she's really aggressive. She's really going after it. And all of that's absolutely true. It's all couched a little bit in that sort of, you know, she's a woman doing this. And that surprises some people, clearly. But she's done this everywhere she's been. She was first the AD at St. Louis and then at Maryland. And she's not one of these sort of slash and burn athletic directors who's only there a couple years before she moves on. She was at, you know, Maryland for 16 years. She clashed with their sort of renowned Hall of Fame head coach, Gary Williams, throughout some of that time. But since she's been at NC State, she's fired 7 coaches now at NC State. That's more than a third of the coaching staff. And all for the same reason. They didn't win enough. You know, NC State, they have an all-sports trophy they give out. NC State was ranked fairly low, way down at the toward the bottom third of that ranking. And she's changing that. She wants to change that. She wants to improve all athletics. But the ones that matter in terms of revenue and visibility are men's basketball and football. And she's made 2 changes there already. The men's basketball one was a little bit easier only because almost everybody agreed that Sidney Lowe was probably going to get fired. It was a little bit tricky because he was one of the school's great athletes and alumnus. But that program had hit ground, you know, and so she made that change. She brought in Mark Gottfried, who a lot of people think is doing very well, has a big year ahead of him. And now she made this change, which really she could have sat back and been fine with Tom O'Brien, maybe waited for him to retire in a couple of years. And instead, she made a very aggressive move.
So what does it mean if you suddenly become a top 25 team? Do you do that for financial reasons? Is there money in it? Is it just bragging rights?
Oh, there's lots of money in it. And it's one of those things that, you know, money gets money gets money. In other words, you know, if you go to a bowl game, that's a couple million dollars a year. If you go to a top-level bowl game, I go to the ACC championship game and a top-level bowl game, that's a couple million. But also, and Debbie L. mentioned this at her press conference and, when she fired Tom O'Brien, she said, this wasn't the only reason, but we have seen season ticket sales go down. Now, that's not only this the only reason. That's a big reason because facilities are getting built. People need to come into the stadium. But then a lot of people believe, and there's some research that shows this might not necessarily be true, that getting big crowds and getting excitement about a football program or a basketball program then leads to more donations for the school in general. And so you get money that way. And then the conference gets better. It gets a better television deal. You get a chunk of that. You know, there's a lot of money involved and you pay coaches a lot of money to win games. That's all it is now.
It's an investment.
Absolutely.
It's an investment. So let's talk about UNC's head football coach being considered for the top job at Tennessee.
Right. Well, and this is one that gets people a little bit shocked. Larry Fedora has been there 1 year. The Tar Heels were on probation this year. But, you know, he's one of these young up-and-coming coaches with an exciting offense. He's got people pretty excited in Carolina about the future. It's unlikely he'll go to a school like Tennessee, but it also shows you that there are jobs that are stepping stone jobs and jobs that were called destination jobs. And Tennessee is a destination job. You go there and stay for a long time, although the last couple of coaches didn't. But, you know, Texas is a destination job. And North Carolina, NC State may not be that for a variety of reasons. As a matter of fact, the last time North Carolina was really a good football team, Mack Brown left there to go to Texas, and people were a little bit shocked by that. But it's just true. In basketball, it's different, though.
Right.
NC State, North Carolina, Duke, those are destination jobs. People will stay in those jobs as long as they can have them.
Duke football, not a destination job, and yet David Cutliff is now the dean of Triangle football coaches, I guess. And the Blue Devils are bowl-bound.
Yes, for the first time since the first Clinton administration, right. The Blue Devils are going to the Belk Bowl in Charlotte against Cincinnati. And before you begin mocking the Belk Bowl, mm-hmm. Frank,
You caught me just in time, by the way.
They will be getting a $1.7 million payout to go to the Belk Bowl. And, you know, when you're Duke football, that's, you know, that's something. But the other thing it's interesting about David Cutcliffe at Duke is, you know, he was being talked about a couple years ago for the Tennessee job because he was a coordinator there and he'd been a head coach at Ole Miss and other places. So, you know, a lot of people talked about him maybe going and looking at other places. He has stopped that and he says, I'm happy here. This is a place I want to be. You're going to see big facilities upgrades in football at Duke in the coming years, maybe $80, $90 million worth, mostly focused on Wallace Wade Stadium. Duke is going to be entering the big-time football arena a little bit more than they have in the past.
All right. Coaching changes. We've talked about that. We might get a chance to talk about conference realignment. But before we do, I want to talk about programs like UNC's women's soccer team. The women's soccer team just keeps on winning and winning.
Yeah. And that sometimes gets lost. You talk about conference realignment. You talk about coaches. You talk about all this. But this is a program that has won 21 NCAA championships. And they've only ever given 30 in this sport in women's soccer. That's pretty good. And this year, you know, when Carolina started playing women's soccer, they gave scholarships at a time that nobody else did. So they had a built-in advantage and they built a program. But now everybody gives scholarships. There's a lot more talent, a lot better women's soccer players, but they keep winning. And that's really a testament to Anson Dorns. This year they were fourth in the ACC and won the NCAA title. That's somebody who knows what they're doing. That's somebody who knows how to run a program, and Anson Dorns knows how to do
that. It seems to me if they're the team to beat, other schools should be taking aim and creeping up on them.
And they have, and there's no doubt about it. But, you know, Carolina is not sort of the perennial number one, and they don't go into games and overwhelm people with talent now. They go in and win double overtime games. They go in and win in shootouts. It's not the same as it used to be, but it's impressive they can win like this.
All right, well, let's talk about pro sports here, and there's not always a lot of good things to say. I suppose the good news for the Hurricanes is there's a strike.
Lockout, yes.
A lockout. So yes. We're not working. But the Bobcats are on a pace to outdo themselves from last year.
And it wouldn't be hard. They were 7-41 last year. Set an all-time futility record in terms of winning percentage. They already got the same number of wins at 7-9, which is not bad. But even better is they've got a young team that's fun to watch. And quite frankly, they need it because they need to get more people in that arena. A couple of nights ago, they had a situation where weren't many people watching. They were playing well. And the announcer comes out over the PA and says, if we hit a three-pointer here in this fourth quarter, we'll give you a ticket to tomorrow night's game, too. And they did. And everybody got the ticket to tomorrow night's game. So, you know, there's a lot of attendance problems going on still with Bobcats. But they're winning games, and they've got a young, exciting
And
team.
They're named after a city and not vaguely after one state
after
or another.
After a region, exactly.
Yeah. Sounds, Dave, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt, reporter here at WNC. Up ahead, Durham celebrates the 25th anniversary of Man Bites Dog Theater. We'll talk about it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.